Good morning, everybody. It's so great to see this big turnout. As the chair of the LGBT caucus, I would be remiss if I did not say, come by the booth and sign up. We do have women in our caucus, believe it or not. We would like more women in our caucus. So today I will be talking about cardiovascular disease risk in sexual minority women from a population-based perspective. So APHA would like me to tell you that I have no financial disclosures. And now that we know that, cardiovascular disease kills. And it kills a lot of women. It's actually the number one cause of death in American women. More than 422,000 women a year die, and to put that in perspective, that's approximately one death every minute. And though we often associate women and breast cancer as being a significant cause of mortality, and it is, cardiovascular disease is 10 times, has the mortality rate 10 times cause of death than breast cancer. CVD mortality rate has declined in the United States, but it's declined faster for men than women. And in fact, the death rate for women aged 35 to 44 from 1997 to 2002 increased. And women who are 45 years or older are less likely than men of the same age to survive a year after their first heart attack. Sorry, I feel very close here. I feel like I should be walking. Am I loud enough? Am I loud? Do you guys hear? Okay. So we know a lot of things that cause CVD, and some of them are modifiable. These are things such as smoking, physical inactivity, obesity, elevated blood pressure, elevated lipid levels, cholesterol, and diabetes. So we know that certain subgroups of women are at higher risk for CVD. CVD is not randomly distributed in the population. So based on race, ethnicity, or socioeconomic status. We know that the mortality rate of CVD in black women is 27% greater than that for white women. We know that black and Hispanic women are less than half as likely to identify CVD as their, or perceive CVD as their greatest health threat than white women. And we know that women of lower socioeconomic status have more of those CVD risk factors than women of higher socioeconomic status. There's reason to believe that sexual minority women may also actually die of CVD, and they may also be at higher rate for it. There are several potential factors that may lead to this. One are those behavioral factors, smoking, obesity, etc. There's also issues of access to care and issues of minority stress, the experience of being a minority and how that leads to CVD. We know from previous studies that sexual minority women have higher rates of smoking and higher rates of obesity. So from 1987 to 2007, Lee and colleagues reviewed studies. They found that sexual minority women were 1.5 to 2 times as likely to smoke as heterosexual women. And Conrad and Al also found that in population-based studies, 31.6% of sexual minority women reported current smoking compared to 19.4% of heterosexual women. In addition, Beamer and Al found in the National Survey of Family Growth that sexual minority women were 1.25 times as likely to report obesity as heterosexual women. And Conrad and Al in the Massachusetts BRFSS, which is one of the states that actually collects sexual minority data, that 26.4% of sexual minority women reported BMIs greater than 30 compared to 17.4% of heterosexual women. So we know that there are risk factors, but what do we know about CVD? Not a lot. The IOM report that was recently released this year noted that there's really not a lot of literature about CVD risk and CVD in general for all sexual minorities. There is one study that we know of to date that has looked at CVD in sexual minority women, and that was Diamant and Wald in 2003. And they found using the Los Angeles County Health Survey data that sexual minority women, and these would be women who identified as lesbian and bisexual, were more likely to report a diagnosis of cardiovascular disease than their heterosexual counterparts. So we decided to look at that. So the current study, what we wanted to do is number one, determine, is there a difference in cardiovascular disease risk between sexual minority women and heterosexual women using a nationally representative population-based data set? In addition to looking at overall risk, we wanted to look at differences in those individual CVD risk factors to see where CVD risk might be coming from. And in addition, we wanted to look at the impact of using an identity and behavior definition for sexual minority status versus just using an identity definition. So for the current study, we use the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, or the NHANES, as we call it. And we pooled this data from 2001 to 2008. So the NHANES is designed to be a nationally representative study. As of 1999, it started being a continuous study, so they do it every year and they release the public use data every 2 years. And it's advantageous for studying minority groups because you can combine over years and pool data. In addition, they assess health status using both examination data and interviews. And in 2001, they added sexual orientation to the sexual behavior questionnaire going forward. So for the current study, we used the public use data set, which had information for females aged 20 to 59. The sexual behavior questionnaire in the public use data set it's administered to people 20 to 59 until 2007, and then they decided that people older than 59 have sex. So now it's administered to 69. Unfortunately, in our data set, you don't have sex after 69 either. But there were no women in that age group in this the current data set. So we had, to start out with, we had 6,179 women. 149 of those women were excluded because they either refused to answer the sexual orientation question or they provided a response of not sure or don't know. And in addition, 237 women were excluded because they had pre-existing cardiovascular disease. And since we're looking at CVD risk, it was logical to exclude those women. So the resulting sample was 5,793 women. So when we define sexual minority status, we again use two components. We use behavior and identity. So women who either self-identified as lesbian, bisexual, or other, or reported two or more lifetime same-sex sexual partners, we considered sexual minority women. And then to measure CVD risk, we use the Framingham General CVD Risk Score. And this is a sex-specific multivariable algorithm that provides both the 10-year likelihood of developing a CVD event as well as an estimate of vascular age. And so to operationalize CVD risk in the current study, we use this concept of vascular age, which would be how old are you, how old is your heart system, basically. And we look at it compared to how old you actually are. So we computed the difference in vascular age as sort of a percentage of your chronological age. So basically, I got the formula there, but it's how much older are you vascularly than you should be given your current age. And I should say, this is very advantageous. You'll see in the demographics. When we're looking at younger people, CVD risk is, of course, driven by age. And so among younger people, the likelihood of developing a CVD event is pretty young no matter what you do. So this is sort of a way of looking at this risk and conceptualizing it in younger populations. So the NHANES is a complex survey design. So we did all our analysis in SAS survey procedures using both the weight and design information for appropriate variance estimation. Our plan was we looked at demographic characteristics and these individual CVD risk factors by sexual minority status, and we also used linear regression to examine these differences in this percentage of vascular age difference by sexual minority status. In addition, we did a multiple regression analysis controlling for family history of CVD because that's not included in the Framingham algorithm. We also did an analysis stratified by smoking status, and we did analyses looking at both identity and behavior and identity. So what did we find? Number one, when we looked at this group, the sexual minority women were significantly younger. If you look at the categorical variable, almost half of the sexual minority women in this group fell in the age group of 20 to 29. There was also a marginally significant difference in education, such that sexual minority women were less likely to be college graduates, and there was a significant difference in income in that sexual minority women were less likely to earn more than $55,000 a year. So whether or not those have to do with age or there are other differences, we don't know. When we look at CVD risk factors, there's definitely a difference in smoking. This is found in pretty much every study we do. 40% of sexual minority women reported being a current smoker, compared to 23% of heterosexual women. They were also significantly likely to be former smokers. There also was a difference in total cholesterol, with sexual minority women having lower total cholesterol rates. But if you'll look then below that, they were also had lower HDL cholesterol rates, which is sort of the good cholesterol. So when you look at this difference of vascular age, we can see that heterosexual women were about 8.4% older vascularly than they should be. But among sexual minority women, when we're looking at the identity and behavior definition, they were about 14.5% older vascularly than they should be. So that's about a 6% difference, which was significant. Now, when we restrict that definition to identity only, the disparity increases. So when looking at just self-identified lesbian, bisexual, or other women, they are about 15.9% older vascularly than they should be compared to their chronological age. And when we stratify by smoking, the results become insignificant. But if you look at the point estimates, I think it's sort of interesting. You can see that among the smokers, they all seem to be, they're older, definitely, but they're about the same. But it's among the non-smokers that we see this disparity between heterosexual and sexual minority women. So what does it mean? Well, number one, we show there is risk that sexual minority women are older than they should be. Vascularly, 14.5%, which, like I said, is a 6% difference. And we also know that this increased risk is not fully explained by current smoking status. In addition, when we restrict the sexual minority definition to identity, the disparity increases, which suggests that it's identity and not same-sex sexual behavior that may be driving this risk. So why is that? Well, first, there's clearly a difference in smoking. We have 40% of sexual minority women are smokers compared to 23%. We also have a significant proportion of former smokers as well. In addition, even though it was not statistically significant in our demographic analysis, you should note that 47.3% of sexual minority women reported either being overweight or obese, and we know that obesity does lead to cardiovascular disease. In addition, there are factors that are not captured in the Framingham algorithm that may also be doing this, such as alcohol and drug use. We know from other studies that sexual minorities tend to have higher rates of alcohol and drug use. And then there's this idea of minority stress. So the idea of living your life as a minority and the stress that accumulates from that may also lead to CVD. And so in thinking about that, if we look at the idea that when we restricted the definition to identity only, that the disparity in CVD risk increase would suggest that non-heterosexual identity is sort of a driver of CVD risk, which fits with Myers' minority stress framework. So the idea that by identifying as a minority, you experience stress may in and of itself, the biological process of experiencing that stress may lead to CVD. And also, that stress may precipitate negative coping behaviors that also increase CVD risk, such as smoking and obesity. So we had strengths and limitations. One, we used a nationally representative population-based data. So this is nice to sort of look at sexual minorities in a broad base, which hasn't been in the literature very much. We also used, instead of looking at an individual CVD risk factors, we used a multi-variable algorithm to conceptualize CVD risk. And we used identity and behavior definitions to operationalize sexual minority status. The weaknesses are, it's a small sample. There were, even though we had 5,700 and you know, some women in the sample, only 300 or so women identified as sexual minorities. And so when you start breaking that down and you look at, there were like 71 lesbians in the sample over 8 years. It's a cross-sectional design, so we can't really determine if CVD risk actually translates into incidence. We only have the snapshot of people's CVD risk at that time. And because the NHANES doesn't oversample sexual minority women, it's hard to say that sort of this group of 300 sexual minority women actually represent all of sexual minority women in and of itself. So in the future, one thing we'd like to do is investigate CVD risk in a larger and more diverse sample of sexual minority women. First, to give us a picture of what does CVD risk look like in a generalizable population. In addition, to look at these issues of intersectionality. So what does it mean not only to be a sexual minority woman, but also to be an African-American sexual minority woman or a sexual minority woman of low socioeconomic status? We'd also like to look at, in addition to CVD risk, differences in incidence of CVD in the larger sample, and to look at longitudinal studies. So determine, like, we see that there's definitely risk, but does this risk translate into incidence? And does CVD actually occur faster in sexual minority women than in heterosexual women? So I would like to thank my wonderful co-authors, Drs. Jabson, Buchholz and Bowen. I'd also like to thank my advisor, Tom Burrows, who paid for my plane ticket here. And I'd also like to thank the Summer Institute and LGBT Population Health, which is conducted by Fenway, which is sort of where the nexus of this all started about a year ago. And with that, I would take any questions.